Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of the Weekly Zeitgeist. These are some of our favorite segments from this week, all edited together into one nonstop infotainment laugh extravaganza. So without further ado, here is the Weekly Zeitgeist.
Well, Miles, we are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by a very talented actor, producer, and activist. He originated the role of Abe in the Pulitzer Prize-winning and Tony-nominated play Disgraced. That's where I know him from because I'm cultured.
Oh, yeah.
But, of course, we also know him as Simon Drake on How to Get Away with Murder, Amir on the Shy, from TV shows like The Good Place, Chicago PD. Ever heard of him? He's also a founding member of the Chicago Inclusion Project, which seeks to provide resources for underrepresented people in the arts. It's Beza Dabu!
Hi, I'm so happy to be back again. I love doing this podcast.
Oh, man, we love having you.
Good seeing you, man.
Good seeing you, too.
Where are you right now?
I'm in Los Angeles, but I want to chime in on the thing that, like, I wish NASA scientists would create more of and I could never have too much of. Mm-hmm. And for me, that is cilantro flavoring. Oh, my God. I love something has cilantro in it. I had a chicken curry the other day with cilantro in it, and I was like, more cilantro.
They're like, you just ate a mouthful of cilantro, sir. More cilantro-y.
You want the molecular gastronomy where, like, they take, you know, like 7,000 pounds of cilantro and then put it into like one like Tic Tac shaped thing, and you're like,
yes.
Your mouth may not recover from this, and you're like, please.
There's a dish. I'm not sponsored by this restaurant, but there's a restaurant called Chin Chin. It's like Chinese food. They have one in Beverly Hills. They have one in Studio City.
Yeah, it's like a chain from the 80s, but yeah.
So they got this Chin Chin restaurant. So, you know, the other day I was like just hungry, ordered something, and they have this thing called Anthony's Special Noodles at Chin Chin. And I was like, well, what's special about Anthony and like, why is the noodle special? But it really just, they put a cilantro dressing on it. I was like, well, let me get that. These noodles were delicious.
Oh, man. So, and it had adequate cilantro. I mean, how are their levels to it? I mean, like most of the time we see it as a garnish. I go, if you go to like a taqueria, like it's going to be with onions chopped up. Like how,
Do you want, like, in your mind, in an ideal world, are you just seeing handfuls of cilantro on top of stuff?
That doesn't deter me. Like when you get like a taco off a food truck and there's like almost like a whole like vine of cilantro.
Oh yeah, I love that. Got the good flavor.
Oh, you don't mind the stem?
No, okay. I don't mind the stem.
Oh, okay. I don't mind the stem at all.
I don't mind the stem, and the stem kind of gives you a little crunch.
Yeah.
But the cilantro noodles, it was like more than just a garnish. Like there was cilantro flavor in the noodles. And I like that because you don't really get that flavor with like Asian dishes always. So that was pretty great. Anyway, that was just
listening to you talk about cilantro has convinced me that I have the soap thing. You know, taste cilantro and they're like, that tastes like soap water. Like I was going to say, have you tried the Mountain Dew flavor soap water that's cilantro based? But I didn't say that because I think there's just like when you look up like cilantro flavor, first article, why does cilantro taste like soap? And they treat it like it's a preference for those who appreciate it. Cilantro tastes like, but I don't think it's appreciation because I've never had cilantro and tasted something that is citrusy, which is what I'm seeing people describe it as.
It does not at all taste like soap to me. But what does taste like toothpaste to me is root beer. And I think that's a thing too. Like root beer to me is just toothpaste. It tastes like Crest.
Damn.
Whoa.
I think you might be right. I think that might just be preference, and you putting that in people's heads might have just infected them and ruined root beer because I'm thinking about the taste of root beer and I'm like, damn, that is the problem with root beer.
I love root beer.
I do too, but like,
thought about that shit.
It does have a minty Crest flavor to it.
Well, they said if it depends, but likely the shared ingredient is wintergreen, which is like some. Like an extract
winter
that they
green
use to
in my
put in
beer
it.
Of root.
Yeah.
It's just interesting what our brains like attach to. Because for me, like I take a sip of root beer and I'm like, that's what I brush my teeth. Like
that's what I brush my teeth with.
Yeah.
But it gets you all fucked up and you start brushing your teeth with root beer because you're so confused. Your dentist's like, you have so many cavities, Bezod. What are you doing? Like, I'll brush with root beer.
When it's a similar frothy foam that comes about when you're really getting down on some toothbrushing and also just what naturally happens on the top of root beer. I have gone from ever appreciating root beer to ginger beer. I like a ginger beer.
Oh, yeah.
Now that I don't drink, I like ginger beer as my, I like the bite. And you can't make it spicy enough. You can't. You can't do it.
Oh, okay.
You can't. Give it to me. Tell me the spiciest ginger beer.
I mean, I feel like in order of like spice factor, I feel like Reed's is pretty good.
Yeah.
I think Reed's is the one that has the like version that is pretty commonly available that says spicy on it. And that's the one that I fuck with the most.
Right. Cock and Bull also has bite to it too.
I haven't. Oh no. Reed's is not the one. Reed's Extra. That's the one that I have. It introduced me to ginger beer. And has since I've
okay.
I've
so moved. Where do you want ginger beer OG? What have you moved?
I gotta find it. You gotta let me do some research here.
You're like, what I do is I take a whole ginger, I soak it in a 2 liter of Sprite for 7 days.
Yeah. Jack says that there couldn't be. He wants NASA scientists to inject all the ginger.
Now I have had like concentrated ginger juice or like whatever you get at a smoothie bar, and that is painful and mean. That they even serve that because they know people are coming in being like, oh, I've enjoyed ginger on sushi. I've enjoyed ginger beer. Mm. And that just tastes like concentrated pain. So maybe I just haven't had the right ginger beer that like puts me in my place. I think the thing I'm thinking of is Maine Root ginger beer, which has that's available at like, you know, Ralph's and Whole Foods and has a spicy varietal, you might say.
Ah, yes.
My favorite word.
Today's bonus word.
Yes, yes. Jakees, we do like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
Everyone, I have some sad news.
Uh-oh.
And
oh boy.
When I say sad, I'm very upset. But as of last week, me and Donald Trump have something in common. We have both been permanently banned from twitter.com. Both. I got the Trump ban, as in they permanently suspended my account and say you can't make new accounts, although I will, but you will see how that works. But you can't make new accounts. Would you like to know? So my search history, I've been looking ways to get your ban and your suspension reversed. That is what I've been looking at. I have appealed it. I've gotten denied twice. They say, nah, you're going to stay banned. Wow. So if anybody out there has a contact at Twitter, hit me up on Instagram or some shit. Hit your boy up. I'm trying to get it back. Here's why I got banned, y'all.
I have to assume it's you know, came within inches of bringing U.S. civilization to its knees, overturning the electoral process with just massive conspiracy theories that caused people to murder other people based on the company you're keeping.
No. It was something much worse than that. I did something even worse than that.
Oh, boy.
So on the day of the shooting in Texas where all the children lost their lives due to our obsession with guns in this country, some bitch wrote online, you know, despite what, and I'm using the word it was a dude. I'm just gonna call him a bitch because that's what he is. He wrote, despite what happened today, this is still the greatest country in the world to live in, and people from all over the world would love to live here. That's what this motherfucker wrote. So I should have ignored it. You know what I'm saying? It was a blue check mark. I should have ignored it, but I just wrote, I hope you stub your toe. I hope your knees always hurt. And I hope you always have a piece of hair stuck in your throat for saying that dumbass shit about children getting murdered. That was my tweet. And within 10 minutes, I got permanently banned from Twitter for inciting physical harm.
Are you fucking kidding?
That's such trash.
For inciting physical harm and violence against other people and abuse. I got permanently banned, been twice denied for a reversal of my permanent ban for telling someone, I hope you stub your toe and you have a piece of hair stuck in your throat. They said I was not promoting other people their right to have their own views, and I responded with abuse and violence and wish of physical harm, and I have been permanently banned from Twitter, the same Twitter account where I report people who have called me nigger, hard R, and just put spaces in between, and Twitter comes back and says, they haven't violated any rules.
Yeah. I've reported spaces people.
Can't do I reported somebody who said, you know what? I hope they don't overturn Roe v. Wade because black women get abortions the most. And with abortions, that's less black children. I reported that.
So you
they told me this does not violate Twitter rules. Saying stub a toe. Permanently banned from Twitter.
Well, you're talking Matt. I think that was Matt Iglesias who said that.
Yes.
I remember seeing that and having the wish in my heart that he would stub his toe and feel like he has something stuck in his throat. Maybe even inhale through his nose a little black pepper and then sneeze for a couple hours.
Just sneeze.
Yeah.
Crazy, man. But that's what it is.
You know, that's interesting. Crazy, man. Interesting Twitter.
Terrible.
Ain't it? Ain't it grand?
Ain't
so that's
grand.
My search history. That's been my search history outside of, you know, porn. you know, let's
Love
be
it.
Real. I'm
Love
still
it.
I'm still looking for porn. You know, I'm still looking for the perfect porn. if anybody out there knows the perfect porn, let me know. And, you know, listen, we all have our sexual preferences. I enjoy the view of a beautiful lady in my porn. So if you got the perfect porn, send it to me. I want to know.
Beautiful women, also, you say? Okay.
Beautiful. Just beautiful woman. You know, beautiful women. Beautiful women. I don't like blacked.com. Don't send me that shit.
Okay. Very specific.
We're getting off topic. Yeah, man. So that's my plight. That's part of the reason I don't have song in my heart today.
I think this has accidentally given the show a great vibe. And I'm just going to take a small sip of this buttery shard and ask you, buttery chardonnay. And then I'll ask you, what is something you think is overrated?
Right now, I'm screaming at George Washington. I think he is overrated. I think his shitty little voting parties and his teeth are very overrated. I think American history is overrated. I think they're lying. I think it's full of lies.
Wow.
This is why people buy guns.
This is a very incendiary take on
George Washington,
our tame morning show, because we love George Washington, one of our founding fathers. But that is true. His teeth were not made of wood. And maybe it's time we do accept that as a country.
I refuse. Not on my watch.
That's always like the push pull of the host is like you're about to figure it out and you're like, I refuse to believe that American imperialism is the cause of a lot of the
that doesn't sound like the George that I don't know but have been told about in numerous books with the gold binding that are illustrated with cartoons.
Yes.
It was his wife Martha that made the flag, right? Was that it? Martha Washington.
Was Susan B. Anthony.
They made the flag with the circle and all the stars.
Am I wrong? No, here?
Betsy Listen, Ross. Wasn't it Betsy
that's
Ross?
Betsy Ross. That was Ross a trick I played on both of you. I knew it was Betsy Ross.
You're very clever. We have a tricky guest today.
You think I give a fuck about
fuck Betsy Ross. Whoa. What happened to our morning show? I'm sorry.
You can't come up to me talking about politics. I'm drunk on my birthday.
What guy is something you think is underrated?
Now, underrated for me is it's not all of Facebook, which I think is probably a net bad, even though me and Mark go way back. But Facebook memories, I love that stuff. It stores all of my digital memories. I found a status update this morning. It's the only reason I check Facebook is to see what I was up to.
See where you were 7 years ago or 10 years ago?
Yeah, 14 years ago.
Checking with past guy.
That's right. Guy Montgomery is at a party. And there at the bottom it says, that's all for today. So that's my only memory ever made on this day. It was 14 years ago. I was at a party. And I wish I'd used more descriptive language because I can't remember a single detail.
That's based on a check-in where you said at a party and that was it?
It wasn't a check-in. And I didn't have a smartphone in 2008. It was either a party I was hosting or I went onto someone's laptop and posted this. I got really into posting very boring, banal status updates. And
yeah. Then,
you know, the other thing I do is I like to check my historic status updates for any, any crazy stuff I was doing. Like, I think I got Facebook 16 years ago. I had no idea I was going to leave a digital footprint up until now.
Right.
You know, we had no conception that everyone was going to be able to look at everything we ever wrote. That's crazy.
I'm looking at... I just saw what mine was May 27th, 2008. Because, back then it would say Miles Gray says, like the format was almost like this person said, and it was like Miles Gray says, fight apathy or don't.
My man. See, now that's good gear.
That's just good content.
See, I was in my bag in 2008.
I was at a party. You were fighting apathy, but indifferent to what other people were doing.
Or not, man, whatever, you know.
We were living our lives.
I have not been on Facebook in an extremely long time. Wow. Yeah, I get the smartphone, like the Apple memories updates that are like, remember this good time?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And it's never
like the sad music. It looks like a funeral.
And they play with a jaunty tune.
Yeah. It's all open source music. Can't they just like use the music from my phone that they know I like?
Yeah, well, can they use U2?
Right. Can't they use that one U2 album?
Santa Barbara.
Still the only music I have on my phone.
You know that song? That's like the one U2 song that I can't get off of Her Majesty's phone that plays when we plug it in.
I've had that song play randomly many a time.
Fuck that.
It sounds like they were starting Barbara Ann and then lost confidence. These vocal harmonies are too challenging. The Edge is speaking out from behind his bass. I can't do it, Bono.
Or Bono's just like midway. He's like, hold on, stop, man. I think we're in over our skis.
We can't do this. This is going to go on every single Apple phone in the world. Can you imagine recording an album with the weight of that hanging over you? It's like everyone's going to hear this.
Or yeah, but then know how bad those albums are. You're like, wow.
Yeah, it got
to really them. Don't give a fuck, but great.
They didn't have the metal. You can see it got in their head.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't please everybody is what I've always said.
They
certainly pleased me. That's still the only, I thought a lot of people were mad about it. I was like, now I have music on my phone and I don't need anymore. And that's to this day, the only album on my phone. And it rocks.
Songs of Innocence, I think, is that album.
But then, yeah, that's that album. But you're leaving out the punchline, man. Songs of Experience.
Oh fuck.
Comes later, and you're like, what? Wait, what?
I trusted you.
You how dare son you? Of a bitch. What?
The Edge. What?
I loved Songs of Innocence.
Edge. Is he the Edge or Edge?
He's the Edge, right?
Either way, you know, you got a bit. He regrets that nickname. He's old now. It's embarrassing, dude.
Yeah, right? He's the... Is there a seat somewhere around so I can just... take a load off? Oh, he is the Edge. Okay, thank you, David Howell Evans.
Is there another one-name person that has a the at the beginning of it?
The Weeknd?
Yeah, The Weeknd.
The Holy Ghost?
Yes.
The Father, the Son?
Yeah. Maybe the Big Three, brother?
I do feel like they would have, maybe the Holy Ghost, that's how they would have addressed the actual ghost version of Jesus. But I don't feel like they called him the Son when he was walking around. But I do feel like the Edge's friends call him the Edge and the Weeknd's friends call him the Weeknd, which is fun.
Like in the early bands, Evans was given the nickname The Edge by members of the Lipton Village Surrealist Street Gang, to which Bono belonged. The nickname is commonly believed to be derived from the angular shape of his head.
Damn.
So he was bullied.
An he unflattering like childhood nickname.
Right. It's like, yo, and shout out to the guitarist of my band, Jizz Boy.
Right.
What's up, Jizz Boy? We love you.
Like if I had
get
just,
that name.
If I had just gone by me off like the entirety of my life. Like
hey, that's Meoff. Actually pretty clever. Credit to your childhood bullies.
Oh, it was a lot of them. There's a lot of clever bullies out there, guy.
I know. If only they'd use their powers for good. Like bullying a different kid.
like, what about this asshole over here?
Yeah, yeah. Why am I covering all this? This guy just told me he had his first wet dream last night. Embarrassing.
Oh, Evan, you did? Yeah, man, cool. Oh, why are y'all high-fiving him?
That's great. That's growth, man. That's growth.
That's awesome, man. Well, that's cool, man. It's totally normal, man. I don't feel ashamed or embarrassed, you know. I'm like Jack Meehoff over there. His mom made his lunch. What?
Do you like making school lunches, Jack?
I do not like it. We have a metal like grill, like it's a lunchbox that goes inside the lunchbox. It separates the food out into different things so you can like put more like whole foods in there without them getting mashed up. And it's the hardest thing to wash in our household.
But you know, man, I'm so glad finally we're using the Daily Zeitgeist platform to talk about this, because we got something made by a company called Smiggle, got the plastic pull out. I can't get this thing out. I got to wedge a butter knife in there just to get this thing out to clean it.
Yeah, it's embarrassing. So hard to clean.
Really?
Yeah.
They're not like just one piece that you can just do a top drawer dishwasher type shit.
Oh, it's sweet Miles.
Sweet innocent Miles.
But he knows that.
They have like a door hinge on them, you know, mine do. And then they're like a weird shape and they're also a weird size. So like they don't fit in the sink necessarily, like in a way that makes it easy to wash.
Something you got to know about Jake Miles is this guy's got a tiny little sink in the lunchbox as his kids are going to school.
Have you seen, I don't know if you've seen Kanye and Kim's house, but their sinks where you can't tell where the water goes or that it's a sink even. That's sort of how we modeled our sinks. And so that does make doing the dishes somewhat difficult.
That way we can suss out any time travelers who know how to use this future technology. Yeah. That's the literacy test, like in Demolition Man.
That's right.
Where they know you knew how to use the shells.
Yeah, we have the three shells as well.
Yeah, okay, good.
Yeah, you just gotta...
We like to keep our bodies clean. We use the three shells.
And I like to solve problems. I like to get my kids ready for the real world.
Man, well, shout out to your bento box dividers. I remember being a kid, I hated my food touching, but there were no options. It's like, here's this one Tupperware everything will go inside
right.
of, and you will eat
it.
Yeah. The kids won. The food's separate now.
Damn it. Yeah. Born in the wrong era yet again.
Yeah.
If only I could be a child today with this outlook on my future.
Like, mine was just a brown paper bag with, like, smaller, like, sandwich bags full of stuff that would occasionally leak out.
Oh,
but yeah, I don't know.
Mine was a series of brown paper bags, and there'd be a big bag, and then there'd be several smaller bags until I'd get to the tiniest bag, no bigger than a thumbnail, and it would say, "Check the rubbish bin by the gates." And then it was this whole scavenger hunt. And by the time I found the lunch, we were back to class. I was starving. They create a new one every day. That's so, God bless my parents. There's so many scavenger hunts.
Yeah. Oh, shit. Yeah, I only had lunches up until like elementary school. And then my parents were like, man, fuck that. Just eat the like prison slop they give you in there. And that's what the kids want. A lot of school lunches.
Right? That's what.
I would eat, see kids. I was like, damn, your mom has time to make that. Mm. That's cool. I'm going to eat this like styrofoam tray of like old iceberg lettuce, old bread they call croutons and ranch dressing. We'll call it Chef Salad Day.
I was amazed that kid's mom had time to make that lunch as well because I was so busy porking her.
Up high. All right.
All right. You're clearly a bully. Come on.
No. I'm just feeling bad. I told you I'm feeling nuts. I got some crazy ideas.
That is a great. Can't believe your mom made you your lunch. I love it. All right. Well,
I love it.
I truly love that. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring the Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back. Mm. And I was told by one of our producers that they kept falling asleep to the dulcet tones of Miles.
Because it's so dang boring.
Ever and I speaking as NPR hosts. So
don't fall back.
Like,
so we're going to go further into it, into a deeper sleep.
So let's dig into what's happening, what the fallout has been on two sides of the border. You got your America, United States of America, and then you got your Canada, which is a different country that just wants to be America, United States.
But better or something.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So what are they doing? Are they trying to like redesign their flag to be red, white, and blue instead of just red and white? Or
yeah,
the maple
leaf is now going to look like the 777 howitzer artillery cannon. But no, Justin Trudeau has announced, you know what, we're going to do things a little bit differently, and we need to take the safety of Canadians seriously. So basically, they are banning the sale of handguns. By that, they're basically saying that you can no longer like procure a new handgun. So it's going to be like you can't trade, you can't buy, sell. They're just saying, you know what? The market on handguns, it's capped. That's it. If you got one, fine. Also, if you have an assault rifle, you need to come by and we'll buy that shit back from you because we're not doing that anymore either. And, you know, this has all been part of a wider campaign in Canada to curb gun access and curb gun violence after a gunman, you know, had killed 22 people in rural Nova Scotia, like in 2020. And that was a moment where it's like, oh, this is something that has to be addressed. And the wild thing is hearing, you know, how the prime minister is just talking about it, about gun violence. And his quote is, "Gun violence is a complex problem, but at the end of the day, the math is really quite simple. The fewer the guns in our communities, the safer everyone will be."
Okay.
Pardon? Like,
Sorry, that was my only response.
I know, because our fucked up propaganda American brains are like, okay, but now also tell me about the people screaming at the prime minister because it means end of the world because gun buyback. Like, where's that part? Where's the part where he has to acknowledge that it's not a good idea because these people hate it? It was just it's truly something. Wild to hear a line like that when meanwhile we have people talking about it's not that we need less guns, we need less door.
I think that's that's strong. Sorry, the gravitational pull of the NPR voice has made me realize why they do it. It's very calming.
There's no way. Yeah, there's no way you can be outraged like that.
Right, you can't be outraged, and so your soul. It's like the thing where you go walk around with a big smile on your face, and like that's supposed to make you happy. Like there's that like feedback loop.
Yeah,
have you heard
that?
Like
I've
just
heard
that. Just like
doesn't work,
right?
Doesn't work.
It's kind of a completely illogical way of dealing with things, but
when you talk like this, you can't be outraged.
It's also, I think, very American,
We're just going to force our damn souls into the right shape so we can get through this one more time. Ever, are you still joining us from the offices of NPR?
I am. I was just saying, every time I try to make myself happy by smiling, I just look like a jackass.
Is it like...
It's like a forced smile.
Yeah. Like so ear to ear that someone's like, are you distressed? You're like, I am happy.
I'm fine.
Nice to meet you.
Just smile with tears rolling down your face.
Yeah.
Nothing is wrong. I'm not stressed about anything. And I've only been getting good news. And any bad news is a practice to deal with it. You know what I mean? Where it's like with Buddhism, and I'm sure like a lot of other religions, where it's like, if you stop resisting, the pain will go away.
Right.
So it's like, hey, no bad news. I accept the bad news. I stop resisting the bad news, and suddenly there is no more bad news. And this segment is, of course, brought to you by Duke's.
Duke's man.
No more
Duke's
bad
Chardonnay.
Breathe it in.
No more bad news.
I mean, that would feel like a segment that they would have on NPR. It's like, and next is stress management technique. And they're like, and the biggest thing is we have to accept what's happening around us, right? It's when we resist it that we feel all that discomfort. So if we just accept everything is terrible and trust the politicians to do everything, all your cares will go away. Okay.
And, just accept the gun violence around you. It's that simple.
You know, I like to go back to George Washington's stories when I have to illustrate a point I want to make, but also another great American, Ever Maynard, the inventor of Chardonnays, has often said, do you think I would have invented this if I were happy? So I feel like
a happy person could have come up with this.
Could have come up with this shit.
No.
Look how happy I am. Look at this smile. Look at it.
Anyways, meanwhile, in the United States of America, the NRA held their convention where Donald Trump read off the names of the children and, you know, victims of the Uvalde massacre. And then also, for good measure, at the end, danced a little jig on stage.
That's not real.
It is.
Is that real?
Gross.
Everything feels like lazy satire at this point. But so that happened. And then the police in Florida arrested a 10-year-old who like had said that he bought a bunch of assault rifles and was going to do a school shooting, essentially. And they interviewed him, found out that he was making false threats. I don't think he had the guns that he was claiming he did. And they proceeded to arrest him and publicly release his mugshot.
That's so scary.
And they, first of all, I saw people like posting about this approvingly, like on social media. It's just like, you know, I don't know. It just feels like chaos, like signal and noise all like blended together into just indecipherable kind of slurry.
Also, like, this is a kid that needs like, yes, mental health resources, and this is only going to make it worse. Like,
yeah,
this kid needs like, yeah, counseling, therapy, but instead we're just like burning him at the stake or like dragging him through the town. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
this is not cool. Like, this is only going to further traumatize this kid. And it's like, yeah, this kid did a fucked up thing and we should be taking threats seriously. But at the same time, this is also like a red flag that this kid needs help.
Yeah.
So
The sheriff, who prides himself as the tough on crime sheriff, made a statement. I'm just going to read from it because, again, it does feel like it's just bad, like satire that's too on the nose. But, you know, it certainly feels like the police are doing the, like, you know, the thing where like a bully gets beat up and then comes in and immediately starts picking on the smallest kid in school just to, you know, prove something to themselves or whatever, salvage their reputation and sense of self. But so the sheriff said, this student's behavior is sickening, especially after the recent tragedy. Making sure our children are safe is paramount. We will have law and order in our schools. My team didn't hesitate one second, to investigate this threat. So that is like a veiled reference to the Uvalde police, you know, waiting outside the school while the shooting was taking place. Right now is not the time to act like a delinquent. It's not funny. This child made a
fake threat, and now he's experiencing real consequences. We don't wait 1 second. We investigate every threat as if it's real. And while Marciano acknowledged that the boy is only 10 years old and his brain isn't fully developed, he explained that making fake threats still have real consequences. So he's going back to that fake threat, real consequences thing, like a tough love school principle.
Real threat? I don't know. It sounds dangerous.
Right.
Like,
yeah.
Huh?
That one seems a little less clear.
It's wild how like everyone's kind of using this to differentiate themselves, even though they're in the same group. Be like, we have no problem jumping to conclusions and brutalizing a 10-year-old child because we take threats seriously. Unlike the jokers in that other place, like, you're completely missing the point.
Can we describe this photo of this sheriff with the cops behind him?
For the listeners.
So there is a big, I'm going to call him Buff Daddy Sheriff, and he's wearing a half-zip sweater pullover, and it's slightly buttoned down, but it's kind of like an army green, and it's got a gold star. Huge pecs, chiseled jawline.
Huge pecs.
Huge pecs, great arms.
Big pecs
on his back.
This guy's Gregory Pecs.
It's Gregory Pecs, and he's kind
of... I did have to look up to make sure it was not Gregory Pecs.
The porn star?
Yeah.
Not Gregory Peck. Gregory Peck,
oh, is
the
that
adult
really a porn star's name?
No, I'd imagine there would be a guy named Gregory Peck.
Oh, God. So then there's three SWAT team members on his left and three regularly dressed cops on his right. And they're all like, yeah, we're in a Daniel Craig movie. You know, like kind of like tough guy looks.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But it's like, you're a 10-year-old. Where are you?
They're armed to the hilt.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
The SWAT team members have the masks over their faces, and then the officers are doing their best to flex while also keeping one hand on one of their weapons.
They're in a sad flying V of like no confidence and using gun to look tough. The three people who are like masked and shit, it really, it's like, it shows you all they got to do is like, oh, shit, man, we spend so much money on this crap and never use it. Y'all line up so they can at least see that we're dressed like the video game characters from Call of Duty.
They all look kind of half out of shape. I am going to lie. I'm not going to lie. I'm getting back into shape, but I feel like I could outlift and outrun these people.
The chief, I'm worried about his cardio. That's for sure.
Honestly, he definitely uses steroids and a lot of pre-workout.
Oh, yeah. The farts, farts are ridiculous when he goes to the squat rack. People are like, fuck it, get away from this guy.
Clear out.
Yeah. I mean, and throughout all that time too, like, I don't know if you read any of like the weird quotes coming out of the fucking NRA convention of people like with their weird takes trying to defend, you know, like just this indefensible situation. And like some people, this guy was talking to the Texas Tribune. Like, there's this one line in this article that said they described, like, people who are attending the NRA convention, they described feeling ostracized for their beliefs, and not just those on guns, for their refusal to get the COVID-19 vaccine, for their objections to gay people serving as teachers, for their belief in disciplining children through spanking. Like, what? Like, the dinosaurs feel bad that we've completely moved on? Like, it's just our dinosaur culture, though. Please.
I had a dinosaur culture in Portland, and I went there a couple of weeks ago for some gigs, and I was taking a lift, and this guy's like, have you ever been to Dallas, Fort Worth? And he was a dinosaur, right? But he was Portland, and I was like, I mean, it's okay. It's a little conservative. He goes, I'm just looking to move somewhere where people respect the law. And I was like,
hell yeah.
He was like, I'm tired of all this graffiti. And it's like, it's not 1952.
Right.
There's graffiti.
Tired of this damn artwork everywhere.
Rock and roll
somewhere
music.
Where you can just walk into a Starbucks with a assault rifle.
Right. Oof. Yeah. There's another person who like also said like the kid could have had a bat and could have done just as much damage, but they're trying to attack guns. And it's just, it's wild to even hear the people that are there. Cause I don't know if you saw the images from inside the convention.
Mm-mm.
It was sparsely attended. Like,
right.
A lot of
more
the images.
People protesting than attending.
I did see that video where the guy, like, addressed the president. Have you guys seen that? And he's like, yeah, he was like, thank you for your thoughts and prayers.
Right. Mm-hmm. He's like, people have said Wayne LaPierre did nothing after Sandy Hook, after Vegas, after Parkland, after fires off the list. And like, you can tell people were getting uncomfortable because it was like, it had the tone of someone being critical. And he's like, and yet they don't see what he has done. He's like, I want to thank you, Mr. LaPierre, for your thoughts and prayers, because you did offer them kind of shit. But yeah, like it is a very interesting moment to see even the people who are fully NRA brained, like the best they can do is say stuff like a bat would have been just as bad, or the reason why people are doing this is because we're teaching our kids that America's a bunch of crap, as one guy said. And I just feel like that logic is starting to wear thin for some people when you just kind of see the repeated horrors like over and over and over again. And then hear people be like, we need one door.
Right. So the door thing is that there were too many doors and too many of them were left open. Is that their thesis?
Yeah, but then just in general, if you have one point of entry, you can control that and it's a choke point. So if someone were to enter and they were untoward, like you can get it, like stop them right there at the point of entry. There's no other place to monitor, just the one door.
Mm-hmm.
Again, unless there's a fire at that door. In which case,
the much more common event that
So, but you know, this is kind of like, I think you can tell from the outrage from the people even outside of the convention center where the NRA thing was happening, it's just like at a certain point it's like this sounds so utterly ridiculous, when most people would be like, if someone's like, the person is shooting people, you'd be like, I wish that person didn't have the capability to shoot people like at will.
Right.
That's that usually is like the easiest way to solve a problem. But hearing all this other, like, you know, redirection and nonsense, I think it's just making people more furious.
Yeah. I was reminded while driving around over the long weekend and seeing a Blue Lives Matter like sticker on the back of someone's car. But, like, there are people who, not just the police, but there are people whose identity is based on the idea that police are heroes. And so I'm assuming those are the people who are like sharing this story about arresting a 10-year. Like the social media I saw on this was like, yeah, but like Bernie Sanders just wants to eliminate student debt. Nice try, asshole. Like at least some people are doing something about the problem we have, like commenting on the story about the 10-year-old being arrested.
Right.
And it's just, yeah, it's, there's the recency bias that we've talked about before, about like where your town will never be more prepared for the snowstorm that happens after the one that they needed to be better prepared for. And mm-hmm. then, you know, the police and the people who have Blue Lives Matter, like on their social media accounts are like, you know, they are wounded right now, and like this is what we get as a result. And it's wild. Like it truly is just something that I feel like we're getting many moments that belong in that like end stages of human civilization museum with the Jimmy Fallon Paris Hilton interview right. about Bored Apes.
I do have something to say in defense of Blue Lives Matter, and it's more of a sheriff's lives matter. Over the Memorial Day weekend, which also happens to be my birthday weekend, I was at the beach. Yes, yeah. Thank you so much. I'm drinking my Chardonnays, and I saw a sheriff's helicopter doing tricks in front of the buoy in front of me, because the helicopter landing pad was directly kind of off to my left. And every 15 minutes, the helicopter would take off and do a new trick. And I got to say, I've never wanted to waste more tax dollars. I wanted to see more tricks. And I was like, this is about $10,000 a minute. And I'm here for it. Yeah, per trick. Literally, they were just doing
I don't think I've seen helicopter tricks. What do helicopters
do? Like
it looks like they're about to fall out of the sky. And I was like, everybody was like, oh my God, the helicopter's going to fall into the ocean. And then they'd go, psych, or they would just fly straight up, like nose up, and then dive bomb down and do some kind of roll. It honestly was very cool.
What?
Wait, and this was like in a law enforcement helicopter?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Hey,
and they would wave. Like, they were waving.
There is a crisis of confidence happening with all police forces across the country. Right. And they are
Rick,
doing...
go do some tricks.
Rick, you know those copter tricks you do?
I feel like they're doing what I'm doing right now, like where they're at work and they're be like, yeah, yeah, I just have a phone call to make in my office and instead they're podcasting.
Yeah. But it's like a fascist podcast is what they would be on.
They're like, we're on patrol. And instead they're like doing their own memorial, like Air Force show.
Welcome to Sick Tricks with Rick.
You can hear that rotor in the background.
What's going on with the Miami Heat thing, though?
So that was a wonderful pivot from Ever Maynard. The whole thing that's happening. Thank you for keeping the show moving along. The whole other side of this, right, is like something that's interesting. There's this op-ed in the Washington Post, who was written by, I feel, Greg Sargent, talking about how, like, you know, the effectiveness of athletes and their advocacy right now, because it just seemed like pointed something interesting out, was that when sports teams get involved, like, conservatives can't handle it. Like, they just cannot handle athletes or teams having an opinion on, like, policy. And it's always like, just shut up and play sports ball. Mm. And I think it's like, I think there's just something interesting about, like, that insistence, because it seems like one of the biggest the reactions that got, like, the most attention last week was Steve Kerr, who's a basketball coach. And his, like, outrage about it, a lot of people were like, oh, wow, this is interesting. Like, wow, look at this coach had something to say about it. Then the San Francisco Giants manager, Gabe Kapler, he told reporters he wouldn't stand for the national anthem until he felt the country was actually, like, moving in the right direction, because he said, like, what he's seen is just not good at all. And this drew a lot of criticism, but then it was quickly followed by, like, other teams airing messages of support for, like, gun reform, like the Yankees and shit like that. And so the Heat, before their game, they had, like, a, you know, pro-gun reform message, and, like, Marco Rubio was like, ah, like, just stay out of it. But I think there is something interesting just pointing out, like, how pressed the politicians get when athletes talk about this stuff, because it does feel like they occupy this space in our popular culture where, like, you know, clearly athletes of color, when they protest to this point, has been seen like, you're radical black, or, you know, person of color.
I was gonna say, like, how do you, like, activist. Kaepernick, like, where was the support when, like, Kaepernick was protesting, you know?
Yeah, not much, but
yeah,
it's then, and I think that's the unfortunate aspect, especially of, like, the issue that he's drawing attention to, which would put a lot of people off to be like, there's not a racism problem. But right now with gun reform, to have people say, I fucking think it's awful that children are dying needlessly. Now try and come for me for that. And a lot of people are just like, like, I want to be like, what are you, soft? And you don't like needless child death? But it puts them in a very odd place. And I think aside from, like, the crisis of confidence, there's also just like, they don't know what to say anymore. And, you know, this sort of op-ed was just kind of pointing out, like, how much more, you know, like, normalizing athletes can do. Because there are groups of, like, rigidly minded voters who are like, I don't know, man, if anyone who's a Democrat says anything, like, I'm instantly turned off. Now, hold on. This baseball player also doesn't like it. OK, maybe I'm not so soft. If I
talk,
like,
to me when the NRA does it. I mean, the NASCAR does it. Talk to me when NASCAR does it.
Yeah, I mean, we'll see where if it reaches that point. But it is interesting to see, like, you know, I think just the more, like, outward rejection of, like, just kind of being like thoughts and prayers and being like, no, this is kind of fucked up. Although I do feel like
I do think it's very cool.
My only concern is, like, with how incrementalism is in this country, that the new normal is just to be like, this is messed up.
Right.
Whereas before it was just like thoughts and prayers.
Right.
Yeah.
And now the, like, reaction is, this is messed up. Don't ask me to do much more, but it is messed up.
The Heat message is remarkably, like, from the year 2018, for the first half of it. Like, they do a moment of silence. They ask everybody to, like, honor the losses of the families who lost children and, you know, their memory. And it is, like, thoughts and prayersy. And obviously it's silent because they're doing a moment of silence. But then when they give everybody a phone number to call to prep put pressure on their local politicians to pass gun control reform. Like the crowd, like really, it shouldn't be surprising, but the crowd really like gets behind it and like starts cheering almost uniformly. Like
right.
There's almost uniform approval. And like, I don't know, that does, like, I feel like that's a good,
especially in Florida.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Which is probably why Marco Rubio was like, what the fuck is going on?
Yeah, Marco Rubio, not happy.
I mean, I don't know. This is something I've always wondered, right? Like, tragedy touches every person, regardless of your political ideology. And I know sometimes it's maybe easier to explain away why something may have happened. But on some level, I'd imagine if you're a human, even though you may be, MAGA down to your bones, that you may have experienced loss in your life. And for a moment, we're like, that's awful to like lose a child. And that's, I am aware of that sensation. And to then hear someone be so shitty in the face of it, like repeatedly, like maybe the first 40 times, it was like easy to hide it. But right. There is something, I think, just like everybody was talking last week, like we all were talking about moments we were just breaking down just by, not even because like we're like, there was something different about this one. It's like, I feel like we're collectively reaching this like tipping point where it's really difficult to kind of keep being like, nah, okay, well, maybe it'll be a while to the next one and we can figure it out in the interim.
But it's not. It's going to be like tomorrow. I know that sounds bad.
No, and I think the reaction of politicians is one thing, but I just think for people, like we're not going home taking away like millions in donations from interest groups to like stay in office help soothe our wounds.
Could you imagine? But, like, yeah, right. What do you think I brought with Dukes?
Yeah. Oh man, Miles is in the fucking pocket of Big Mayo, or as they call it, in the jar. But like,
baby boy, I'm in the jar. Okay, sorry. No, okay.
But it is one of those things where, like, the response, like it the shit is, the tricks don't work on people anymore. It's like, how are you going to look at that and not say something that's more substantive? Now again, but with how incremental things feel, it may just push the goalpost just a fucking couple inches. Where now the response isn't thoughts and prayers. It's like, what are they doing in Washington? Also, hear your donations in Washington.
Mm-hmm.
But
right.
That's just like the new face of the game. I don't know. It's hard to know until we really kind of get on the other side of it.
I think all pressure, any pressure anybody can apply is great, mm-hmm. on the sports front. And I'm wondering if Canada is doing the thing like a good parent, where they just like model the good behavior. They don't directly tell the kid to do it, but they're just like, when the kid is having a temper tantrum, they get calmer and they like bring it down here. And they're like, hey, what? So, I sometimes get angry too, but they're really smile. The only way.
I keep a big smile on my face when I get angry.
And a giant glass of Chardonnay is close by.
Suddenly I'm not angry anymore.
We've done it. I don't know, but I mean, like, just like when we did our show up in Canada, I'm like, wow, that's healthcare? They're like, look, no dental, no mental. And I'm like, hey, we got nothing. So that's yeah. cool. But I mean, I don't know. I think, or it could just, we're like, oh, what's their end game here? Or it's like, maybe they're worried about the safety of
people. Take care of their children.
Again,
I don't know. I think it's about us. If I had to guess, yeah. It's about us.
Nah, this ain't about them. They're trying to say fuck you to us right now.
Yeah.
They really are. Like, look what we can do. And look what you can do, but you're not doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll talk about a movie that has some good ideas of what we can do to Canada, and that is Top Gun.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course, and Season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan, and if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Me. Focus Features presents Back to Black.
I want people to hear my voice and just forget their troubles.
Experience the music and her story.
Know this, I ain't no Spice Girl.
Like never before.
That's my daughter, that's my Amy.
On the big screen.
I want to be remembered for just being me.
Amy Winehouse, Back to Black, directed by Sam Taylor Johnson. Rated R, under 17, not a minute without parent. Only in theaters May 17th.
And we're back.
We made it.
So we've heard the Netflix stock price is going down.
Oh,
and they
yeah.
are in a panic, just a flat panic.
They're freaking.
Everyone's, they're freaking, man. I'm fucking freaking out, man. Which, I don't know. I always find that a little bit suspect because the people who have, who that actually affects are not the majority of the employees. It's like the executive team who right. have the millions of dollars in Netflix stock, and suddenly they're scared and pissed and firing everybody, which seems like what is happening at Netflix.
Yeah.
But they've kind of announced a new direction that they're taking things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're focusing on making big, quote, this is quote, focusing on making bigger movies, making better movies, and releasing fewer than it previously did at a gluttonous pace.
Damn. Sure.
Yeah. I think the wording of that is certainly appropriate considering how much content Netflix was just pumping out. And all of a sudden you would just go on Netflix and everything that you used to see as like, oh yeah, we'll watch this on Netflix or that. It was just populated by shows. You're like, what even is this? What is this? This movie, this show, this thing I've absolutely never heard of with that little red N in the top corner. Like, ah, yes, this is a Netflix joint.
Also, using the phrase gluttonous pace feels very like self-hating. Like it feels like somebody who's like, oh, I'm such a pig.
Yeah.
I hate myself. Just like looking in the mirror being, yeah, I don't know. Just ease up. You guys made some good movies. You're figuring shit out. Like, I like the idea of making bigger movies and better movies. I love good movies. That's my thing.
Love
I love them.
Too.
Here's the thing with Netflix, man. I wish Netflix would admit. First, Netflix is misstepping a lot. You know, they misstepping with on social shit. They're misstepping with all the people they've let go and all the shows they just like canceled. I just had a show canceled at Netflix, an animated show that I was on, recorded already episodes. And when they did that boot, I found out, oh, my shit is never coming out. Beautiful. You know, like they misstepping a lot, doing ads and charging, you know, sharing passwords when that's how they got successful. I wish Netflix would just be real about what they really want to be.
Yeah.
Netflix started off as the DVD subscription. They switched over and introduced us to the world of streaming, and they became the streaming site. Netflix doesn't want to be a streaming site anymore. Netflix wants to be a production studio.
Yeah, you're right.
That's what they want to be. They want to be a Paramount. They want to be a Warner Brothers. They want to be these type of things where it's not about the streaming. It is about the having your name on a movie or a TV show, a la Warner Brothers, DreamWorks, Disney, all these other places. And then, you know, Netflix will be their hub, a la like a Disney Plus or HBO Max or Warner Brothers, or, you know, like it'll be a hub, but they want to be a production company. And if they would just say that, like, things would make so much more sense. You know who doesn't get shit for putting out things at a, quote, gluttonous pace? Warner Brothers. Because Warner Brothers is a fucking production company.
Yeah,
like, right. They're supposed to put out multiple movies a year and multiple TV shows a year. But because Netflix is a streaming site, and that's how they are still marketing themselves, when they put out all these god-awful movies and or just a crazy amount of, like, content,
yeah,
we look at it and we do say, oh, yeah, it's gluttonous. This is too much. Like, you know, like I miss what Netflix used to be.
Right.
Well, because Netflix decided years ago that we don't want to be this no more. We want to be a production company. We want to get in the award business. We want to win Oscars. We want to win Emmys. We want to win all these things. And we want to have a studio. They're building studios here in L.A. We see them, all the Netflix studios with the sound stages and shit like that. They want to be a production company. They should just fucking say it. And they should stop bullshitting. And I think people would give them more leeway as a company if they just said what they actually are trying to be as a business model. That's my opinion on Netflix.
Yeah. And I think they probably have a perception issue because people just think of them as like the Netflix was the one word, like Kleenex is the one word for tissues. Like Netflix was the one word for a while for anything, like watching anything on streaming. And that's like the public perception. But then on the business side, they are trying to, they want people paying them for content too, not just like having to pay other people for content.
Yeah.
I think it's also just annoying that, you know, in these methods of cost cutting, it always comes down to, or I shouldn't say always, but it often comes down to cutting employees. And in this article, it says that they're axing 150 employees, which is, you know, 2% of its workforce. Doesn't sound huge, but that's still 150 people that are out of a job because you're spending too much money on whack content. And I don't think that's necessarily any of those 150 employees' fault. That, like, if your cost-cutting measures are just like, we're going to keep making big shit, but we're just going to get rid of people so that we can, like, slim down this process, it does not make your content necessarily better to have less people working on it. It's like you look at an enormous movie, there's millions of people working on it because you want to get, A, the best, and you also don't want to crunch whoever you have. And so just getting rid of employees to save that money is, it feels short-sighted in terms of like creating better content when, you know, more hands make light work, give you more opportunities. It's just like, why get rid of people as your first measure? Just as they're saying, make a few less movies. That will save you a lot of money, especially, Jack, as you've noted here, that they spent, what was it?
$175 million on The Irishman.
It's ridiculous.
That's the one, like, they're not saying, like, these are the types of movies we'll never make again, except that one. They're like, we're not making The Irishman again. And the fact that they spent $175 million on that is... Yeah.
And it's not even the amount. I mean, the amount is crazy.
The amount is crazy.
You know, and I'm not saying that it's the not. But like, if you heard like they spent that on the Avengers, you would be like, okay, that makes sense.
Yeah.
But like, The Irishman,
exactly.
That boring fucking 3-hour drama, bro.
They
you
spent
can make a
all that money to make Robert De Niro look like he was slightly younger, and also descended from. Like, one of his ancestors was one of the characters from the movie Polar Express.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That'll still be, to this day, one of the funniest fucking scenes I've ever watched in my life is when Robert De Niro,
stomps
as a young man, had to beat that dude ass.
Perfect.
And they was like, all right, he look younger, but this nigga still got an 80-year-old body and can't move.
Clearly dealing with bone density issues.
Yeah. Quite literally.
Oh my God. That man. I mean, at that moment, I was already bored with the movie. And even though that gave me a hefty laugh, I was like, I can't enjoy the rest of this movie. Like, it's pretty fucking bad. But yeah, truly, truly the best thing about The Irishman was them wasting all that money. Especially Martin, because Martin Scorsese, that's who did that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Wasting all this money on this movie. And it doesn't even look good. And then have the nerve to say, like, MCU movies ain't real cinema. Motherfucker, right. They could have did that shit better than you did. They could have at least did that money. One moment.
Yeah, no.
Well, because they're aware money. That there are actors who are under the age of 70. And they could have just cast them in the roles. I think all those performances, especially Pesci, really good. Not here to hate on it, but like to the fact that that cost $175 million.
Christ, wild. Just,
like, I don't know. Nobody was like, wow, like that is what I want to see done. Like that is the magic, the movie magic that I want to see is like an old person made to look slightly younger. Like that, it doesn't do anything.
I would like to add just really briefly that part of the value of spectacle is seeing that spectacle in its total grandeur. Like, you watch, I think you brought up Avengers. I think it's a perfect point. When you have a moment where there's literally every big actor in Hollywood on stage at once doing this awesome charge at each other moment with the main villain, you look at that and you're like, that is a fucking spectacle that costs a lot of money, but it is showing itself. Another example is I just watched, or I've said this a bunch of times, but the Taylor Swift Reputation tour, you can see the video on Netflix, the tour video of that show. You know how much money went into that tour, and it shows. It shows in every aspect of this tour. And when you spend a bunch of money and you're looking at this thing going, where'd that money go? That's a failure. That is a failure 100%. When you can't see why something would cost as much as it does, it's just like this, it's not worth it.
Right.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you where all that money went.
Mm.
It went to Robert De Niro's salary because he got to pay his ex-wife half. And I say, you know what, Black Queen, get your money, baby. Get your money. Take that motherfucker for all he worth,
there
Queen.
You there you go.
Take him. That's where it all went.
De Niro
was, he negotiated extra money because he got he's paying alimony now.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Weekly Zeitgeist. Please like and review the show if you like the show. It means the world to Miles. He needs your validation, folks. I hope you're having a great weekend, and I will talk to you Monday. Bye.
Right, gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at King's Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at King's Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun season. King's Island is now open on weekends.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.